The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition. Dom, a GOP freak show Friday edition. Welcome to it, little buddy.
Yeah, man. Always a pleasure. Crudy, got Rich on the board, our fair audience. Happy Friday to us all. Air the grievances here with us, 844-967-2789.
Dom, can you believe it's been, what, approximately a week since we learned on air in real time, I believe last Thursday afternoon, of the 34 felonious convictions of Donald J. Trump? That was the greatest radio show ever, at least in recent memory, Dom, but we'll try to top it today. But it's starting to sink in. Well, there's not a but per se.
Oh, but the question. There is a but, but you go first.
Well, there's several buts. I've often called you one. But Dom, here are the buts. The but is it helping the man? Is it making Donald Trump stronger and invincible and rallying the support of the Republican base? Or does it make him less likely to win re-election? I don't know how it could be a net positive to be convicted on 34 felonious charges, Dom. But this guy has befuddled many times before. And there are many times we thought he was going to be dead, right? Dead. There were so many things. He broke societal norms. He broke political norms. Acted less than presidential.
He breaks everything. He's a bull in a china shop. And so, but that's Donald Trump, right? I understand that. The question is, practically, can being convicted of 34 felony counts it literally help him? I mean, I find that hard to believe, and perhaps it's the type of felony, the circumstances of these particular crimes that, you know, give rise to some of those who might, you know, run to his side because, oh, you know, it's just bookkeeping crimes.
Well, Dom, we do have some poll again.
I can't believe there's any circumstance in any political world, in any political party, where someone being convicted of felonies helps them in the long run.
Yeah, but you're not part of the MAGA cult, Dom. There is some poll again. And let's throw a little of this reporting of the poll again from Politico. A polling do-over find Trump's lead shrank after a guilty verdict. Shrank. Doesn't mean that Biden's in the lead, just means Trump's lead shrank. Former President Donald Trump's guilty verdict may indeed be hurting him in the polls, according to data published Wednesday. In a redo of a recent New York Times Siena College poll, Trump's 3-point edge over President Joe Biden before the jury rendered its verdict shrank to just 1 point when respondents were quizzed after the decision. The re-canvassing of the 2,000 voters. So as I understand this, Dom, it's the same people being asked the same question. Provides a database reflection on the first conviction of a former president and presidential candidate, though it may be no more than a snapshot this far out from the election. And before the verdict, most Americans, polls showed, viewed the hush money cases less serious than Trump's other legal cases. The slight shift from the initial polls in April and May were especially prominent among young, non-white, and less engaged Democratic-leaning voters, according to new analysis. Listen to this one. This would be pretty substantial. We've heard that Trump suddenly surging amongst black people because now, what, he's got a record like they do? I'm not quite sure what the analogy was. But he keeps claiming it, and his supporters do, But here's what the polling says. 20% of Trump's previous supporters who are black are now supporting Biden, while only 2% of non-black previous Trump supporters decided to back Biden. So, white people, MAGA, they don't care if he's guilty as hell, Dom. They barely moved. Just 2% of the Trump supportive switched to Biden. That's about the 2% shift we see in the polling. But black kids, young people, not quite tuned in fully that were, you know, sort of flirting with voting for Trump, Dom. He peeled off about 20% of those. That's a step in the right direction for the, you know, Biden campaign that needs to shore up all of its bases, Dom. There was also some polling, this same topic out of, and this was at thehill.com. A little more troubling polling, Dom. This out of a couple of the swing states. Arizona and Nevada, according to thehill.com. Trump leading Biden in two key swing states, according to the polling. And they also polled there on the effect these guilty verdicts from the jury. What effect did it have on the race? And in a couple of these western states, sort of a yawn. Here's what the reporting at The Hill tells us. Former President Trump is leading Joe Biden in two key swing states, Nevada and Arizona. And I've tried to spend some time in those states in the last year or so, Dom. According to polling released late Thursday, the Fox News poll, consider the source, Fox News poll found Trump leading Biden by 5 points, 50% to 45% amongst registered voters in Nevada in a hypothetical matchup. Well, what's so hypothetical unless Trump gets removed from the ticket? Trump also topped Biden among registered voters in Arizona, 51 to 46, so about a 5-point lead in those two swing states. Now, Trump had recently visited Arizona, right? Did his kooky town hall event, 2 o'clock yesterday in Phoenix. He visited Arizona on Thursday, stopping by the state he lost in 2020 after winning it in 2016. And let's not forget what happened when Arizona was called by Fox News for Joe Biden. I mean, that basically launched the Stop the Steal effort, right?
But I would say, again, this is a polling, and we've had our pal, Marquette University
Charles Franklin. Poll,
Charles Franklin, come on and talk about, you know, likely voters versus registered voters. And these are registered voters. So it can be less impactful, less accurate based on the registered voters versus a sample of the likely voters.
Well, and
take that into account as well.
In these two states, Dom, the verdicts, right? Guilty on 34 counts in New York State. Pollsters found that majorities of registered voters in both states, again, Arizona and Nevada, say the former president's recent conviction in the New York hush money trial does not matter. 65% in Nevada, 63% in Arizona. Now, I've seen a lot of contradictory polling on that issue, Dom. But I can't imagine, at least in the state of Nevada, where, you know, prostitution is legal if you go out state and everything goes in Sin City. I can't imagine that too many of the natives have a lot of issue with the former president paying off a porn star. I'm just saying, in Sin City, I think that's more forgettable, more acceptable, if you will.
Certainly, but that kind of washes over the specific issue at case here. It's not just the payoff. It's certainly not the sex. It's the fraudulent booking and the impact it had on the 2016 election.
Well, how else do you explain 65% of registered voters in Nevada yawning at 34 felonious guilty verdicts, Dom?
If it doesn't matter to their vote, it doesn't matter to them that they're going to vote against him. Or I guess I'm not clear on the context of it does not matter. But yeah, I get your point that perhaps they're used to the lifestyle a little more than most people. But on this, Crudy, okay, fair enough. But again, I have to throw out Fox News polling, sure. Registered voters, fine. We're talking about 1,000 sample size. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. Here is the news today that concerns me more. Breaking from the Raw story, Matthew Chapman reporting, a new notice put out by New York Judge Juan Merchan notified both the Manhattan District Attorney's Office and former President Donald Trump's legal team about a post on the Facebook page from the New York court system, which purported to be from the cousin of a juror with knowledge of the verdict. The comment in question came from a user identified as Michael Anderson around the same time Trump was convicted of 34 felony charges. Quote, "My cousin is a juror and says Trump is getting convicted. Thank you, folks, for all your hard work," said the comment, which, according to Mershon, responded to a routine UCS notice posted on May 29th of 24 regarding oral arguments in the Fourth Department of the Appellate Division unrelated to this proceeding. The USC notice in question was posted one day before the verdict was handed down. However, Mershon's order does not specify whether the Michael Anderson post itself was before or after the verdict, only that it was labeled as 1 week old. It is also not clear whether this person is really a cousin of one of the jurors. However, if this is actual advanced knowledge of the jury verdict, it could be a potent argument for Trump's attorneys to argue for the verdict to be tossed out on appeal.
Great. Great.
Katie Fang tweeted it out. Mershon's New York election interference trial emailed the letter. We have the letter up on the Devil Radio Facebook page. Let's see if there's any greater detail here than we got from the Raw story. It does not believe to be so. So now, again, take it for what it's worth. We don't know, but the judge found it problematic enough to notify the parties involved. Here's what he said. The court became aware of a comment posted at the Unified Court System public Facebook page, which I now bring to your attention. We read it. The comment, now labeled as a week old, responded to, again, we've talked about that. The appellate, we'll hear oral arguments this morning at 10. Let's see here. So, the comment, now labeled as 1 week old, responded to a routine USC notice posted on May 29th regarding oral arguments in the Fourth Department of the Appellate Division, unrelated to this proceeding. The posting entitled "The Appellate Division Fourth Department will hear oral arguments this morning at 10. So another case, another issue, but this person claiming to be a cousin of one of the jurors apparently had advanced knowledge, if you believe it.
I'm not sure if I should. I don't want to believe it, Dom.
I don't want to believe it either. And certainly someone out, you know,
if
you
we
know how the
ignore it, will it go away? If we deny it, if we strongly deny it.
We strongly denied it. If we, is this rigged? Is it just a mega trolling trying to throw some sand in the gears?
I think it's fake news. I would totally ignore it.
Well, Mershon did not ignore it and notified both Todd Blanche and Steinglass from the New York County.
His first mistake, buying into reality.
Don't do it.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Hey, we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil Epic Radio Show. Happy Friday to us all. Phone lines open for you always. For your grievances, 844-967-2789.
Dom, you posted a scoop over at Axios. And this one's got me rubbed a little bit raw. I got to tell you, a little burr under my saddle, Dom.
Yeah.
MAGA Mike Johnson seeks votes for bill to support Trump after guilty verdict.
Yes, governance, baby, the important things.
The important things indeed. So anyways, give me a moment and I'll jump into the body of this piece. House Republican leaders are whipping votes on a bill aimed at showing allegiance to former President Trump after his historic conviction, but it's unclear if they can secure the needed support. Do you think they'll get there, Dom? Where's George Santos when you need him?
Right.
Because if there's ever a man that's been down for redemption, it's George Santos. Why it matters, Speaker Mike Johnson is under pressure from GOP hardliners to schedule a vote on a measure as part of a full court press to defend Trump. So any difficulty locking down votes could once again put him in their crosshairs. Are they going to get rid of him? Do you think
vacate, motion to vacate, Marjorie?
Do you think Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats will save MAGA Mike if he can't whip up enough votes to support the former president legislatively?
I don't think so.
Dom, the bill would allow current or former presidents to move state-level charges against them into the federal court and then what? Pardon themselves? It's in direct response to Trump's conviction last week in New York. Johnson's leadership team is making calls to whip support for the measure. And this is what they're calling it, Dom. The No More Political Prosecutions Act. No More Political Prosecutions Act. According to two lawmakers and two other House GOP sources familiar with the conversations. But the bill might be a bridge too far for moderate Republicans who have told Axios they would struggle to support it. But they'll come home for Trump eventually, won't they, Dom? I bet they will.
Don't they all? Don't they all? Either you're with them or you're against them and you're on the outs.
A little bit more from the Axios, Dom. Putting the bill forward for a vote is a demonstration of how fervently House Republican leadership wants to stand with Trump. Maybe you could serve time with him. Maybe you guys could be cellmates.
Oh, yeah. You could go get him his cigarettes, and you could give him your food and your mattress. You guys would be so cute together.
House GOP leadership offered a uniform defense of Trump after his conviction, arguing the former president was the victim of a sham trial aimed at damaging his reelection bid. And the measure would be part of a multi-pronged effort targeting the Justice Department that Johnson outlined at his conference earlier this week that also included increased oversight and funding cuts, according to sources in the room. And if you read between the lines, Dom, presidents can only pardon federal convictions, meaning that even if it were to capture the White House again, Trump couldn't do away with his New York conviction. Well, it does seem like they're angling at that, does it not?
Certainly does.
The bill could theoretically allow Trump to move state-level charges he is facing in Georgia to the federal court with the option to then issue a self-pardon if convicted.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Well, those are substantial charges.
On the U.S. Supreme Court sandbagging a decision on whether or not the president, in this case, the former convicted felon President Trump, has the absolute immunity. And now in the legislature, they want to provide him the ability to move state charges into federal court so he can then pardon himself. Got it. Way to go, law and order party.
Axios says yes, but there's not a lot of but here. A number of moderates told Axios earlier this week that they were uncomfortable with the idea of letting a current or former president choose the venue of their trials. Yeah. I'm debating it, one House Republican centrist told Axios. That means you're a yes. If you're still thinking it over, you're a yes. But others, like Rep. John Duarte, Republican from California, who represents a district President Biden won in 2020, say they are prepared to support it. Where, again, is the but, Axios? And then there's one more. Duarte told Axios that while he would prefer a court venue lottery to stop prosecutors from bringing cases in locations with favorable jury pools, I will support the speaker on this legislation. Nobody said they were against it.
How about if you're doing some criming and you're concerned about getting caught, you don't do it where you're going to have, you know, an unfavorable jury pool? Isn't it really up to the crimer, who's doing the criming, to make the determination of whether or not, number one, should I be criming? And number two, if I get caught, am I going to have an unfavorable jury pool? I mean, it's kind of up to them, isn't it? This, you know, the legal system is our reaction to the criming. This is how we've decided to do things. And these Republicans, these makers, want to continue to chip away. Not for Biden, because Biden, I mean, if this would pass, of course, it would be Biden. If it passes the U.S. Supreme Court that a president has absolute immunity, then, of course, it would be Biden. It's not about Biden. It's not about the presidency. It's specifically for one man, for one guy, for their leader, Donald Trump. Axios concludes, Crudy, even if the bill clears the House, it has zero, Z-E-R-O, chance of being considered in the Democratic-controlled Senate. Johnson's office did not respond to a request or comment.
Would Joe Biden sign that legislation into law, do you think, Dom? If it passed the respective houses.
If it passes and he became the president, and he is the president, I mean, he would certainly benefit from it, but I would be against it. No, I wouldn't want Joe Biden to sign that law. I think it's fine the way it is. Why are we changing laws because of the way the guy got caught? doing his criming, and now we got to, I mean, this went different for Scott Walker, right? Did they change the laws here in Wisconsin? Well, Scott Walker was coordinating with third-party money groups.
Not only did they change the law, they got rid of the Government Accountability Board. They got rid of the John Doe investigative process, and they doubled permissible campaign finance donations, except in the case of parties where they opened up the floodgates of unlimited funds that you can give the party, and then they can turn around and transfer back to an individual candidate.
Well, hell, I mean, even what, who's our girl? Janelle Brangen, a rep from Wisconsin, and others have took that bypass, that workaround for giving money to the parties, and then they allocated very specifically for, say, Assembly Speaker Voss's opponent. Have the county spend the money on that guy.
Allegedly,
every time you turn.
Feloniously so dumb. In the case of Janelle Brangen, Adam Steen, Donald Trump Super PAC, and
county parties,
Jefferson the individual county parties, including Chippewa and Langlade, I believe.
Yes, yes. Business as usual.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. More Friday grievances. 844-96-PARTY.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the happy hour, the Friday edition. All I need is a shiny new Mercedes Benz, Don.
Yeah, that's all you need.
And I will offer you my spouse's support in trying to make criminal charges go away against a couple of your buddies.
Well, that would be great. Thank you.
Dom, this is the story being alleged at the trial of Senator Bob Menendez and a couple of co-conspirators, let's just say.
You mean the Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, who's experiencing the lawfare of the Biden administration?
Yes, him and Hunter Biden and Cuellar.
Okay. Thank
but he's currently at trial, Menendez, and a New Jersey businessman who pled guilty to trying to bribe Senator Bob Menendez with a Mercedes-Benz testifies today in his corruption trial. Now, he has been using the Alito defense. My wife! Which begs the question, why did he need a Mercedes-Benz?
Well, doesn't everybody need a Mercedes-Benz? Well, yeah, ask the question.
Well, as it would turn out, why Mrs. soon-to-be Mrs. Menendez, Senator Mrs. I don't know what you call the wife of a senator, Mrs. Menendez, the reason she needed a new car is because she had wrecked her old car to the point that it apparently was totaled by killing a pedestrian. She ran a guy over and then needed the bribe car. So she was complaining, apparently, Dom. And, you know, they came together in a parking lot, perhaps at the Four Seasons.
What?
It gets silly here for a minute. Let me just read you some of the reporting from Menendez's trial today. CBS News, my source, a key witness in the corruption trial of Senator Bob Menendez, Democrat, testified Friday that he bribed the New Jersey Democrat and had given his wife, Nadine Menendez, a new Mercedes-Benz convertible to get power and influence. Now, Jose Uribe, there used to be a major league ball player named Jose Uribe, a New Jersey insurance broker who was indicted with Menendez, pled guilty in March and confessed to buying a $60,000 luxury car to influence the senator. Now, I got to think that's a C-class, Dom.
I was going to say, yeah, that seems, I mean, it's
that's relatively inexpensive on the scheme of brand new Mercedes-Benz.
It was like a couple-year-old, you know, S-class.
No, it was brand new, apparently, Dom.
It was brand new, okay.
Well, maybe an E-class, but something with a small motor, I'm just saying. Now, the Jose Uribe is cooperating with prosecutors, and the senator is denied accepting any bribes.
Yeah, my wife did. I didn't do it. My wife.
Uribe said Friday he agreed to provide Nadine Menendez a car in exchange for the senator's help in stopping criminal investigations that the New Jersey Attorney General's office was conducting into two of his associates.
And I don't think it works that way.
Well, he did indeed contact the Attorney General and try to make it work that way, Don. Now, throughout the Senator's corruption trial, which is in its fourth week, prosecutors have used text messages, emails, voicemails, and financial records to portray the Senator and his wife as collaborators in a complex bribery scheme that involves a halal meat monopoly, the Egyptian and Qatari governments, and trying to influence several criminal investigations. This is like our very own Donald Trump, Dom, just without all the failed businesses. Now, the senator is being tried alongside two New Jersey businessmen, Wail Hanna, the owner of a halal certification startup, and Fred Daibs, a real estate developer. All three have pled not guilty. And Nadine Menendez, trial has been delayed until late summer because it's convertible season. No, because she is undergoing treatment for breast cancer. She has also pled not guilty. Now, Hannah connected Uribe to the couple after Nadine Menendez was involved in a car crash that killed a pedestrian in December of 2018. Nadine Menendez, who was not charged in the death, had been complaining to Hannah about her lack of a car after the crash, according to text messages presented by the prosecutors as evidence. Couldn't wait for the insurance settlement? Was sick of driving the loaner car? What? So now you're going to put your husband in the middle of a bribery scheme? Now, meanwhile...
He was an active participant,
don't get me wrong.
But she's the one
driving the Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, whatever, man. You know, marital assets. It's all ours.
Meanwhile, Uribe was desperate to help a business associate who was charged with insurance fraud and an employee who was under investigation, according to prosecutors. In January of 2019, prosecutors say the senator called New Jersey's attorney general. Here's the active participation part. Grabir Gruwal, to try and disrupt the insurance fraud case. The alleged interference didn't work, however, and Uribe's business associate eventually pled guilty. But the investigation into Uribe's employee, who he has said he considers to be a family member, continued. And Uribe and Nadine Menendez came to an agreement that he would buy her a car. I mean, I know Trump used to take him furniture shopping, but what do you get for a car? And the senator, whom she would marry the next year, would try to make the investigation go away, prosecutor said. She does send a text in French, which I will not attempt at some point. Nadine Menendez had her own new car by early April 2019 after meeting Uribe in a restaurant parking lot where he gave her $15,000 in cash for a down payment, according to the indictments. You walk in with under $10,000 cash, people. Otherwise, you create a track record. You don't know that? Congratulations. We are the proud owners of a 2019 Mercedes. She allegedly texted the senator.
Honey, it worked. We got a car.
Uribe later arranged car payments, texting an associate. I don't want to use anything with my name on it. Messages prosecutors showed jurors. Didn't our boy Alan Weisselberg go to prison for what? Tuition on his grandkids' schooling.
And a Mercedes-Benz, baby. I guess maybe you do got to claim it. I don't know. Yeah, Trump was trying to defend it, I guess.
Months later, prosecutors say Uribe texted Nadine Menendez about the employee. Please help, the text said. I will not let you down. Nadine Menendez allegedly responded. We need to make things go away, Uribe said, according to prosecutors.
Go away.
So back to Senator Menendez. He reached out to the attorney general, Gruel, and days later they set up a meeting. Gruel testified about the January 2019 call with Menendez and the September 2019 meeting at the senator's Newark office. If a guy invites you to his office in Newark, nothing good's going to happen there. When I was in the military, I served at Fort Dix, New Jersey, and I had a buddy, one of the kids I joined the Army with, was from Newark, and we had a weekend off or a long holiday weekend, and you could go on pass. You could go back to the town. I said, I'm going. I'm going to Newark. And the drill sergeant said, no, no, son, never go to Newark. I did not go to Newark, Dom. I took his advice. So,
Crudy, I'll jump in here again. CBS News reporting on the Menendez charges and trial. The call was short. Again, this was with the New Jersey Attorney General. And Menendez raised a concern about my office's handling of matters involving Hispanic defendants as compared to non-Hispanic defendants, in particular matters handled by the Office of Insurance Fraud Prosecutor. He had a slide of reason in there. It's all your racial profiling, question mark. Gruhl said, adding that he asked Menendez if the concern, quote, was about a pending criminal matter, to which he responded, yes. Gruhl brought another attorney from his office to the September meeting in which Menendez again raised the issue. He testified, I can't talk about this. He replied to Menendez. Let's see what else we got.
What did the other guy have to say about that meeting, Dom?
The two left the meeting with Menendez. Gruhl said the other attorney turned to him and said, whoa, that was gross. When asked by Menendez's attorney whether the senator threatened him, Gruhl said no. After the FBI searched the Menendez's home in Inglewood Cliffs, New Jersey in June of 22, where agents discovered stacks of cash, gold bars, and the Mercedes, Nadine Menendez and Uribe met to discuss what he would say if asked about the car payments, according to what he told the court when he pleaded guilty. I told her that I would say a good friend of mine was in a financial situation, and I was helping that friend make the payments on the car, and when she was financially stable, she would pay me back. Nadine said something like, that sounds good. That's what he told the judge in March, according to the AP.
But she's got a closet full of cold bars. Why didn't she liquidate some of those?
I mean, where are you going to sell the gold bars, man? Prosecutors say the senator then wrote a check to his wife, who then wrote one to Uribe, characterizing it as a loan. That characterization was a lie, an attempt to hide the earlier bribe. Prosecutors say, wait, what? So they wrote a check and categorized it as something that it wasn't, and apparently that's problematic? Huh.
Political prosecution.
From another prosecution, local prosecution, not directed by the attorney, Merrick Garland, or President Joe Biden, but Alvin Bragg. But I digress. There was an attempt to hide the bribe. Menendez's attorneys have tried to shift any blame to his wife, arguing they live separate lives, and he was largely in the dark about her dealings with the three businessmen accused of bribing them. She kept Bob sidelined from those conversations, his attorney said. If I had known any idea that that was frowned upon, I never would have done that. I mean, what, man? I mean, she texted him, hey, congratulations, we got a new car. I mean, my wife texted me, congratulations, we got a new Mercedes. I'd be like, what?
And another dude's making my car payments. Hope you don't mind, hon.
I mean, totally fine, separate lives. Oh, my goodness.
Well, and why did he then press the issue with the Attorney General of New Jersey, who you got to think is something of a credible witness in the prosecution against Menendez?
I mean, you know, the deep state goes deep, man. What can you say? So here we are, a prosecution. And is this a federal prosecution? I believe it is. A federal prosecution of a Democrat under the Biden administration.
844-967-2789. This one just hit, Tom. It's a visual, so I'm going to have to tell you about it. But I think it's worth telling you about it. You know that Carrie Lake lady, the senatorial candidate from Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about the fact that out in Arizona, they don't seemingly seem too miffed or bothered about the convictions of the former President Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Carrie Lake gave a little speech in front of a Confederate flag today, Dom.
Of course she did.
I'm going to throw this out as a little unexpected grievance, let's just say, Dom. The Republican Senate candidate, Carrie Lake, addressed supporters with a Confederate flag displayed behind her during a campaign event at a Trump merchandise store in Arizona last week, where she repeated false claims about election fraud. In footage obtained by The Guardian, Lake is seen speaking into a microphone surrounded by a group of supporters at the Trump store in Sholo, Arizona. Behind her, a Confederate battle flag and a yellow Don't Tread on Me flag are affixed to the wall Both flags are available for purchase on the website of the Trumped Store, ED at the end, which sells an array of merchandise with the former president's name and likeness. Writing on Twitter last week, Lake described the event as a magical day.
So magical day in front of the stars and bars.
So many incredible patriots in Herber Overgaard, Show Low, and White Mountains. America is stepping up. Arizona is stepping forward. It's time to save this great republic. I'm honored to be in this fight with all of these amazing patriots. Now, do you think she's
very proud of the Confederate patriots?
Do you think she's got a Confederate flag on the back of her Mercedes-Benz, Dom? Because I bet she drives one.
Nah, maybe just the license plate cover.
Very
classic.
Very popular amongst the Confederate corrupted class, my understanding. Come back with us. It's Friday. We air grievances. More breaking news? We don't know. That's why it's breaking. You can break your grievances here. 844-967-2789.
Won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. Going to get there shortly at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, it's not exactly a Mercedes-Benz, but didn't Clarence Thomas get a whole RV from his rich buddy, Harlan Crow, and some very expensive travel? Dude,
I mean, this is some outrageous. We didn't get to this yesterday. Of like, going back over the years, how much money the Supreme Court justices have received. Looks like my number I wrote down in my notes was $4.2 million over perhaps the last 10 or 20 years to Thomas. And the rest of the justices, $248,000.
Come on, Ketanji Brown Jackson got 4 Beyonce tickets. That was like a $2,000 value, Dom. That's nearly the same as going around Bali on a super yacht with Harlan Crow and his wife.
Wow.
Here is how the...
No problem, right? No problem. What's the big deal? Why does everyone even care, right? This is normal.
And you know, Alito did not make his financial disclosure with the others, and apparently...
another extension.
Clarence Thomas... well, he made a few, let's just say, corrections to his prior reports.
Amendments, perhaps.
Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, I hate calling him that, has disclosed for the very first time visits to Bali and to a private club in California in 2019.
He actually did it.
That were paid for by his friend and benefactor, Texas billionaire Harlan Crow, according to financial disclosures released Friday for 8 of the 9 justices. Well, that's only because ProPublica brought all this information to the public light some weeks or months ago, Dom. Now, the required annual reports covering activity in 2023 show 3 justices, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, received 6-figure book payments. Jackson also accepted, pardon me, 4 tickets worth nearly $4,000 from Beyonce to one of her concerts.
Right. God.
And 2 pieces of art worth $1,250 to display in the justice's chamber. Those sound like loners, Dom. Justice Jackson is crazy in love with Beyonce's music. Who isn't? The court spokesperson said, court spokesperson Patricia McCabe. I don't know why you would throw that in there. Justice Sonia Bayor. It feels like Friday. Sonia, like I've been talking a lot. Justice Sonia Sotomayor reported a star turn as a cartoon character on a PBS children's show, Alma's Way, an animated series about a Puerto Rican girl and her family from the Bronx. The justice was paid about $1,900 for her voice work on one episode where she played herself. Dom, how do we get that sweet, sweet voice work deal? Not quite as lucrative as being a, senator's wife. Or a Supreme Court justice named Clarence.
Yeah, Clarence is just rolling. I mean, the numbers are outrageous. $4.2 million he got, man. I mean, you're talking about $4,000 tickets. And even so, $4,000 tickets are $4,000 tickets. It's still $4,000, man. But they're not doing it like Clarence.
Well, they're not doing it right, apparently, Dom. The off-the-bench activities of Supreme Court justices have been scrutinized and criticized in the last year following reports by ProPublica and other media outlets that Thomas failed for many years to disclose luxury vacations and private jet travel funded by Crow, an influential Republican donor. And in a report last year, Thomas disclosed for the first time Crow's purchase of 3 properties from the justice's family years earlier. Transactions also reported by ProPublica, which ethics experts had said should have been reported by the justice when they occurred. Thomas also disclosed in 2023 free private jet travel he received the previous year, saying a recent clarification of the judiciary's ethics policies meant such reporting was required for travel since 2022. Up until then, I never told you guys when I was going on private jets.
Wonder what else he decided and declined and determined that he was not going to share with the American people.
There is some coverage of that over at the Raw Story. Dom, Clarence Thomas still hasn't coughed up info about many gifts that remain secret, according to a report. Now, I jump forward briefly, and we'll get to the callers momentarily at 844-967-2789. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas made national headlines when he finally admitted a conservative billionaire gifted 2 free vacations, a $500,000 trip to Indonesia, and a Northern California all-male retreat. Sounds like more of a you trip than a me trip, Dom. But that does sound like a sausage party. But investigative reporters say a slew of valuable perks remain secret. ProPublica, first to uncover in 2023 the trips funded by Harlan Crow in 19, said Thomas's amendment to his financial disclosures Friday may not be the victory for transparent governance, it appears at first glance. According to ProPublica, there are many gifts Thomas received that he has still not disclosed, even after new amendments. Well, you know, drag it out of him, kicking and screaming. This assessment aligns with newly released data from the oversight group Fix the Court that revealed that out of the approximately $4.7 million Supreme Court justices have received in the past 20 years, Thomas received $4
million of it. Yeah, baby.
He is the best gift receiver the court's ever known, Dom.
if he was getting per diem, he'd be the guy always getting the most per diem.
Dominic, here is what they claim, the folks at ProPublica. Clarence Thomas took in north of $4 million in gifts over the last 20 years and has only disclosed $2.4 million worth, wrote Wall Street financier Stephen Ratner. That's a total haul 5.6 times larger than the other 16 justices combined. Thomas's Friday filing, in which he amends his 2019 financial disclosure to include the inadvertently omitted trips, spurred a backlash from legal experts who fear that the effect such gifts will have on his judgment in the nation's highest court. It's long past time for there to be a criminal comprehensive investigation, George Conway wrote on Twitter. More devils, a happier happy hour. It's coming next.